Chapter number 10, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, Romans chapter number 10. I love the writings of Paul. There's no doubt Paul's one of the greatest Christians of all time. And he's writing here to the Jews about a subject that's so very dear to him. He uses a word three times in these verses. And I want us to read together, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for thy blessed word. We thank you, Lord, for how our hearts and souls have been encouraged in this place today. Lord, I pray that this morning we would truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. I pray for divine guidance as we look into thy word. Give me the power I need to preach. I pray the Spirit of God would be real upon me and in this place. And Lord, I pray for that one that may be here without Christ. I pray, Lord, that the word of God would speak to them in such a way that they'd realize their sinfulness and realize how much you love them and that you died to save them. Lord Jesus, we give this time to thee. We trust thee, O Lord. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As Paul writes to the Jews about this subject that he loves so much, I want you to take note of a word that he uses, a good Bible word. He uses it several times. In verse number 1, we see the Bible says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Take note of that word, saved. Verse number 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, the Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love the word saved, don't you? I like how it sounds. I like knowing that I am saved. You say, what does it mean? Saved from what? Saved from hell. That's what it means. It means you've been saved from darkness and placed into light. It means you've been saved from loneliness and being given a friend that'll never leave you or forsake you. It means you've been saved from your sinfulness. And the righteousness of God has been placed onto your account. That's what saved means. So I want to preach this morning on this subject. Saved. Saved, saved. There's nothing like that in all the world. Amen? Several years ago, 1910, almost 100 years ago, Mordecai Ham was preaching a gospel meeting in a place called Gonzales, Texas. And there was a man that was in the congregation this particular night, and this was a man that had killed four men, and he had despaired of even being saved. And he listened as Dr. Ham preached that Christ is a refuge for sinners of any and every stripe. And that the cities of refuge described in the Old Testament are a type of Christ. And that this is a haven of eternal forgiveness for all that'll flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Dr. Ham was preaching midway through the sermon, this man was sitting there listening. This man that had killed four men and thought there was absolutely no hope whatsoever for him and for his eternity. But the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of his life, and he gave his life to the Lord while Mordecai Ham was preaching. And he stood up in the midst of that sermon and he hollered out, "Saved! Saved! Saved!" Jack Schofield was leading the music that night in the meeting, and it stirred him so much. Couldn't get away from what that man was saying. It stirred him so much that the next day, as they were there at the motel in the town of Gonzales, Texas, he sat down and he wrote these words to a very famous and popular hymn. "I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm, and I know he'll guide me all the way. When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, 'Come unto me and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally.' Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime, life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved." I love it when we sing that song around here, don't you? I'm saved by His power divine. I'm telling you, saved. There's something wonderful about that. And that man realized that night that within himself and within his sinfulness, he had no hope. But when he realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was his refuge and he could run to Christ, he realized he was saved. All of his sins forgiven. And dear friend, Jesus saved him from a life of hell and a life of sin and a life of sorrow. As Paul is writing this but in the book of Romans, he's writing to the Jews, and he says that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The Bible says in verse number 2, "I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So they've been trying to establish who they are and their own righteousness, but they're not willing to trust the righteousness of God. They were looking to righteousness according to the law. But the Bible says in verse number 4, Christ settled all that. The Lord Jesus took care of it all. When Jesus came into this world, he came and fulfilled all the law. And he nailed all the sins of all the world on the cross. The Bible says in verse number 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth." You know what the Bible's saying? The Bible's saying we can't keep it all. The Bible's saying that we're guilty before God. The Bible says that the law condemns us, but dear friends, grace saves us. The law teaches us that the law brings us guilty and we have to stand guilty before God. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he nailed our sins to the cross. And when I stand before God, I stand as righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews had a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. They were looking for their own righteousness. They were trying to make it on their own. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags." As good as you can be, as righteous as you can possibly be, the Bible says, your righteousness and my righteousness in the sight of God is as filthy rags. That's as good as you can get within yourself. Filthy rags, think about it. We could get into a description of what those filthy rags were. We won't do that. but they were nasty, putrid rags. And dear friends, they represented our sin. And they represented it as good as we could be before God. Verse 5 through 8 goes on. Says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saying, Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." This is saying the difference. These verses are showing us the difference between living by the law and living by faith. Remember, Paul's desire was for Israel and all people to be saved. Because the Bible says in verse number 4, it's to everyone that believeth. So, just how do people get saved? Just how can you know that you've been born again? How can you have this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible tells us the answer right here. And I want us to look together. First of all, there must be a hearing. There must be a hearing. The Bible says in verse number 17, notice with me, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now we're going to work our way through these verses back and forth, and we're going to see some things. But in verse number 15, the Bible says, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" The Bible says in verse number 14, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" And then the Bible says also in verse 14, "How shall they believe in that which they've not heard?" There must be a hearing. So we must understand that we must hear the gospel. And God calls preachers, dear friend, to preach the word of faith. God calls us to be a gospel preacher. And we're not going to be able to hear. We need some men that will preach the gospel today. We need some men that will take a stand on what the Bible says about sin and about salvation. The Bible teaches us that our sin brings us guilty before God, but our salvation brings us as righteous before God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible proclaims that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible helps us to understand that there's not one of us that are perfect. You know, a lot of preachers don't like to preach on sin anymore, do they? Well, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't enjoy preaching on sin, but I do enjoy preaching the Bible. The truth is sin separates man from God. And the Bible says, all have sinned. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have or you do not have. It doesn't matter if you drive in a fancy vehicle or if you walk everywhere you go. It doesn't matter if you live in a somebody told me there was how many bedroom, bathroom house being built. Look, it's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about who you have. Who you don't have. And the Bible says there has to be a hearing. You must hear that you're a sinner. People must hear that they're sinners and that this sin separates them from God. And one of the greatest privileges in this world is that God would call us to preach the gospel. There has to be a hearing. And to hear, there has to be preachers. And the Bible says, "How shall they believe in him and whom they have not heard?" So that brings us to our second thought. Not only must there be a hearing, there must be a believing. Oh, I could preach till I'm blue in the face. I could preach, as they say, where I'm from, till the cows come home. That could be a while. I could preach and preach and preach. You can hear and hear and hear, but you've got to believe it. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in verse number 10 of our text today, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So there must be a hearing, and in hearing there must be a believing. What is it that you're believing? You're believing that which you've heard. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that this is God's word, that God's word is true? I'm telling you, if you don't believe that this is God's word and that God's word is true, then there's not a whole lot I can do for you. But I'm going to preach this Bible to you. Amen. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, this is the word of God. And dear friends, the only way for you to be saved is you have to believe what the book says. It's faith. There's too many people that want, it has to be sight. That's why there's so many of the different religions out there. It's because it's a sight-based thing. But Christianity is faith-based. I wasn't there when Jesus died on the cross, but I believe He did. I wasn't there when He was buried, but I believe He was. And I wasn't there when He rose again from the grave, but I have no doubt that He's alive and well today. But I tell you where I was. I was there the day that I bowed my unworthy knee before a holy and righteous God, and I confessed that I was a sinner, and I called upon Him to save me, and I put my faith in Him. I believed what the Bible said. And everybody that's in this place that's on their way to heaven is going there because they believe what they heard, what the Bible had to say. There has to be a believing. There must be a believing. There's a lot of people that put their faith in a lot of different things. But dear friends, you put your faith in the Word of God and what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, then heaven will be your home. I love what the Bible says in John chapter number 5, verse 24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And listen to this, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The Bible says, when we hear and believe, then we get eternal life. I'm not going to have eventually eternal life. I've already got it. Here's the precious thing about eternal life. The very moment you trust Jesus, instantly, you're passed from death unto life. I guess I've said it 100 times since I've been here. I don't know, maybe it's an over-exaggeration. I've said it a lot. If I were to die this week, and there's a casket here, and my body is in that casket, and there's a preacher that's up preaching, and he says that the day that I died, if he says, for instance, let's say it's tomorrow, which is what? April the 14th. He says, on April the 14th, Joe Shelton entered into eternal life. You stand up and say, "No, he did not! I entered into eternal life August 26, 1985, the day I put my faith in Jesus Christ." The Bible says, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You know what that is? That's a present possession. There has to be a believing. And the day I believed what Jesus Christ did for me was the day that I passed from death unto life. There has to be a point in your life where you believe what you hear. You're not going to go to heaven blindly. You're going to go there by faith. You're not going to go to heaven through church membership. You're going to go there by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to go to heaven because your mom and dad was saved. You've got to go there because you have personally, by faith, believed what the Bible has to say about who Jesus Christ is. The Bible teaches us that there's a lot of people that have heard, but not all have believed, both Jew and Gentile. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report?" And you may have heard the story many times. Or you may have heard the story just a few times. Or this may be the very first time that you've ever heard the gospel story. But you must choose whether to believe it or not. It's a matter of faith. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The way you're going to go to heaven today is you've got to hear the gospel and you've got to believe the gospel. So what do you do when you believe it? Thirdly, there must be a calling. God's already called you because the Bible teaches us God's called all of us to salvation. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You've got to put some action to your belief. There's a lot of people that have a head knowledge but not a heart knowledge. You've heard that, right? 12 inches away from heaven because you believe it here, but you've never by faith trusted Christ. You've never called upon the name of the Lord. You've never just put your faith in Him. It's not something difficult. It's not something hard to do. It's something you do by faith. You trust Christ. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So imagine that you have a great need. And there's someone there that could help you, that could give you that need, that could take care of that need. And it's there, and it's free for the taking. It's not going to cost you anything. But you don't call. Imagine that you're out in the ocean and you're beginning to sink. You personally are beginning to sink, and there's somebody there and they have a lifeline, and that lifeline is there, but you don't call for it. You can call. It's available. They could reach out and they could pick you up out of the depths of the sea, but you say, no, I'll try to do it myself. You won't survive. But the Lord Jesus is there ready for you to call on Him. He did everything. He paid the price. He took care of all the things that were necessary in order for you to go to heaven. And all He says you have to do is believe upon Him and call upon Him. But we just so many times say, maybe I'll wait till a better day, a more convenient season. I can't do it. I can't live the Christian life. You're right, you can't, but Christ in you can help you. Well, I don't understand it all. Look, if I understood it all, I'd have to be in heaven. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. That's what faith is. You say, well, that's foolish to put your faith in something you don't understand. When it comes to God, I'm willing to put my faith in Him for everything. It doesn't matter. Look, I never understood why the Lord Jesus Christ loved me enough to die on the cross for my sins in the first place, but He did. And by faith, I believe that. I never understood how God would call me to preach, but He did. I never understood how God would be so good to me as to give me the wife that I have, but He did. And give me two precious children that I have, and I believe I have one in heaven. But He did. I don't understand all that. I don't understand all there is to understand about the Bible. I wish I understood more about it. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. It's not about understanding it all. It's just simply by faith, trusting Jesus Christ and believing on Him to be the Savior. And just call upon Him and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And I know there's only one way, and You're the way. And you call upon the name of the Lord. And there's no limitations to who can call on the name of the Lord. I love that. The Bible doesn't say for Americans who call upon the name of the Lord, or for Jews who call upon the name of the Lord, or for Africans who call. It says for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't say that men only, or women only, or children only, or senior citizens only. It says for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. God's not prejudiced in His view, dear friend. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for all, and all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, Paul's writing because these Jews believed in God but counted on their own righteousness. They believed in God, but they were counting on their own righteousness to get into heaven. And he shows them that it's about believing and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not their believing that there is a God, but putting their faith in that God as their Savior. And when you do, it'll change your life. Paul said, you have to be saved. The Bible teaches us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Bible teaches us about the word of faith in verse number 8. But the Bible also says in verse number 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I shared this illustration with you one time before. But I was watching an interview one time with the coach of the Florida State Seminoles football team, Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden's a Christian man. As far as I know, he seems to be a good man. And they interviewed him. It was not long after he had a grandson that was killed in an automobile accident. It was a tragedy. It made, you know, national news, of course, because of who Bowden is and his spotlight on his life, and his fame as a football coach, and the winningest coach in college football. And as they were interviewing him, they asked him all these questions about sports, about the boys that played for him and all that, but they got to the point of family. And his whole attitude changed, you know? I mean, he loved the boys that played for him. And he had a passion for football. But when they started talking about family, he really had a love for them. And they brought up the point of his grandson being killed in an automobile accident. And they said, how do you cope with something like that? And how do you make it through something like that? And he said to them, he said, my family has faith in the Lord. And he said, and there's a term that we use. And it's a special term. And he said, it's the term saved. And he said, my grandson was saved. So we have faith that I'm going to see him again when I get to heaven. It's good to be saved. Today may be my last day in this world, but I'm saved. Today could be the final time you were to see my face as far as in the flesh. But if this were my last day, and if you are saved, I want you to know we're going to enjoy eternity together in a place called heaven. That's what being saved is all about. The moment you're saved, you get eternal, everlasting life. Saved, saved, saved. I have found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. You want to know why? Because I'm saved, saved, saved. And I hope you're saved. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to open up thy word. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, your goodness. I pray, Lord, that we'll be obedient unto thee during this time of invitation. We'll thank you for what you do. What's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home. I've trusted Jesus Christ. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I put my faith in the perfect.